Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So now the discussion on what's behind the material, the attraction. The attraction is there generated from the mode of passion. So then, here's a quote from the Bhagavatam 11.28.22. Although thus not existing in reality, this manifestation of transformations created from the mode of passion appears real because the self-manifested self-luminous absolute truth exhibits himself in the form of the material variety of the senses, the sense objects, the mind, and the elements of physical nature. So here it's mentioning, now we're getting into, we always have to understand it when we're discussing real and non-real, that what it means here is that when we're discussing real and non-real, because real means it's connected to the Lord. It's not. It's in knowledge. It's not in ignorance. So ignorance is considered not real, right? But it's not that the ignorance itself is not real, right? The ignorance is a reality. It exists, right? Then there is the consciousness or the perception of the individual that is in ignorance. That's the non-reality. That's why it's called ignorance. Because ignorance is just means it's uneducated. You don't know what you're looking at. Right? Just like the child in ignorance thinks the diamond is just something to play with, like a marble. Right? It's a little more sparkly, but you know, that's about it. So that's ignorance. That's illusion. That's what's not real. The idea that this diamond has no value, that is illusion. Right? But the diamond exists, the child exists, the floor on which he's playing with it exists. Right? It's very important to understand that it's real. There's no such thing as nothing. You understand? This is a voidist understanding, which will come up very shortly. Right? So the idea is that here is that when it says it's these transformations, they're created from the mode of passion, it says. These transformations, so something is transforming, it exists, but it's not real. What's not real about it? The non-reality is not understanding that it's the Lord. Everything that you're dealing with is Krishna. So the illusion is to think that it's not. You know what I'm saying? But in this, of course, that has to be, because here we're dealing with the intellectual understanding. So we're taking it from the principle that someone is trying to find Krishna, please Krishna, and get to the platform of prema. Right? We're not looking from the platform of somebody's looking for an excuse for their nonsense. Right? That's not what we're looking at. Right? Because if you want excuses, plenty of excuses. Oh, it's Krishna. Oh, then it's okay for my nonsense. No. That's why Rupa Goswami then in Nectar Devotion says, it means activities in connection with Krishna that are favorable to Krishna. Right? Only that's devotional service. Otherwise, we can have so many activities where there's a connection with Krishna, but it's not favorable to Krishna, it's not devotional service yet.
So, only activities are actually decreasing our attachment and desire to satisfy our senses in this material world, and ones that are increasing our attachment are then available, because even though there's the big grey area. So
yes. Yes, you could say that. Those that decrease our attachment to the material world and increase our attachment to Krishna. But it's two different kinds. So right now, if we're dealing with the element of detachment from the material world, because you have always remember Krishna, never forget. So always remember, then he's very nice, very attractive, very sweet, very beautiful, all these very nice qualities. From that, we're attracted to him. But what gets in the way of our being attracted like that is our attraction from the material world. We get distracted. Krishna may be very nice, but there's something else that comes up. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're in the temple, you're absorbed in thinking of the deity, and everything's going nice like that, and then your friend comes up to you and says, hey, do you know that girl's looking at you, or that boy's looking at you? Bang! You know, what happened to all the nice, the deity and all the things, and I'm your servant, it's gone. You know, wow, what's that? You know, so it's gone. Right? Why? Because it just takes precedent, because that's what we've always done. You know? Like, I remember seeing these two, there's one of these local, they're a variety of these minas, make an unlimited amount of sound. So two of them came down, and they sit on the ground, you know, right next to each other, you know, with their beaks about this much apart. And then they start making so much noise, and they swing back and forth while they do this, you know. And their beaks going, and they're having a whole conversation, and suddenly the conversation stops because somebody saw a bug. You know, and basically, bang, run off and, you know, eat the bug, and the other one gets the bug, and they go that for a couple of seconds, and then they come back and start the same thing. You know, they said, oh, hey, how are you? I haven't seen you so long. And hey, you know, get over and eat something like that, and then finish it. Oh, yeah, great, so nice to see you. Like that. So, you know, we have our, priorities. So, that's the thing, is from habit, from being here for so long, these priorities are so strong. That's why there's so many rules to control that. We think, oh, it's controlling me. And, you know, it's not me. It's not allowing my freedom. It's not my expression. All it's doing is trying to control all those things. Right? Because otherwise, the tendency is we'll get so absorbed in our little freedoms and our little expressions of ourself, of I and mine, that we forget the reality of Krishna. That's the point. Because, you know, it's like, let us say, in a jail, you're in a prison, and so there's so many restrictions, and you think this is cramping my style, you know, and you think that by being able to move around more freely in the prison, that, you know, you're actually expressing your identity, right? As opposed to not being in the prison, being outside in the free world, and being able to move around that according to your needs. So it's much greater, so therefore then these things would be given. Just like a child sometimes doesn't understand the restrictions of the parents. You know, because they want to be free and do whatever they like. But the parent knows better that you're going to grow up one day. So therefore, let's address that. So the idea is that going back to Godhead is this prominent thing. So here, so what we're dealing with is the mind doesn't understand this. See, they say, you could say, why would we be getting into this? Because we say it's psychology. Why would we be going into this? Because the basic principle, if you take it, the definition of insanity is not being able to see things as they are. Right? So, taking the material world as real, you know, your illusion as real, and the spiritual nature not, that means you're crazy. So we're starting from the principle, I guess you could say it's a Freudian principle, that everybody is basically, you know, crazy. So maybe that's why he only studied crazy people, right? He was not known for studying normal people. You never hear of any survey that he did where he studied normal people. He only studied crazy people. So you could get a reflection of that. Maybe he was right, because everyone in the material world is crazy. So therefore, then... So that's one thing. And the other thing is that craziness or that illusion, then the difference between being workable crazy and clinical crazy is one's attachment. You know? That's actually, you increase the attachment to the point of unworkableness, that is called clinical. Right? So we can understand that these two things, one's illusion about one's position, right? You know, you think you're Napoleon Bonaparte or something like that. That's the popular one. You know? Or you are attached to something to the point of insanity. Does that make sense? So you correct these two. You're not an illusion. You're not, you know, attached in a way that's not workable. Then you're not crazy. So that's why then so much detail is put into this, because this is basically what they're dealing with, isn't it? Your psychologist is dealing with how to make somebody be able to function normally in what they call normal society. But basically they're just trying to get you to be workable crazy, right? But the Vedic is to get you to be not crazy. You're actually cured of your insanity, you know? You know, I mean, what is it from... insane, clinical insane to, how you say, what do you call it? Eccentric. I guess that's the modern, you know, like that. But the Vedic is to get to the point of actual, you know, being situated properly. That's why there is not really any difference between Vedic psychology and the Vedic philosophy, right, or the Vedic culture. Because they're all trying to do the same thing. Ayurveda's trying to do the same thing. Astronomy's trying to do the same thing. They're all doing that. So they're all working. So it'll sound very familiar. But technically in this, then we get into things that we may not always look at. Because most of the time means if it's always remember Krishna, it's obvious this is Krishna consciousness. Right? But if it's how to get out of the material energy, to some degree we know, oh, if you're attached, it's Maya, and you know, you don't get absorbed in your senses, that's Maya, and all these different things like that. Like I just heard a good one yesterday, is that some devotees were cooking something for they were going to do some special thing, cook for the deities. And then someone came up with the idea, so maybe we should, you know, book the maha plate, so, you know, afterwards we can taste and just see if the cooking went nice and this and that. And then one of the group said, you know, don't be attached, don't be lusty, you know, this is nonsense, you can't book the plate. You know, it's just like, okay, but the point is you're cooking for Krishna, you want to also service check afterwards. But no, if it's anything to do with the senses, it's got to be Maya. So this very simplistic idea of Krishna consciousness works very nicely if it's always remember Krishna. But if it's used in the place of never forget Krishna, it becomes a social disaster. Like that. It's very, very... Because if you complicate always remember Krishna, then that's difficult. But the never forget Krishna, that's the place where you get distracted. So that's really where you have to know exactly what's wrong. It's not that the senses are there. You're not going to function. It means you're sitting in this class, hearing this knowledge, using your eyes and your ears. Right? So using senses and the mind. You're not using something else. So it's a matter of distinguishing. So here it's pointing out is these transformations created from the mode of passion. What does that mean? These transformations are coming because the living entity desires them. Right? Does that make sense? The living entity wants to be the controller and enjoyer. But the facility for that is not available in the spiritual world. So it's created in the material world. Now, Krishna has created everything according to his interest. So basically it's non-different from him. And so he will function very nicely in moving through this because He is the controller and enjoyer. In other words, he is the support of everything created. Right? Then within that, what's created, then the created has variety. It does things. Because being conscious, its nature is to always be adjusting, moving, doing something. Right? So then that interaction, then Krishna gets pleasure from. So we're seeing that point of pleasure. What we're not seeing is the basis of that pleasure. Krishna's enjoying with his devotees in the spiritual realm. right? He's the center of attention. So we see that. So that's what we like. You know, he's the controller, he's enjoying. We like that. That's the part we take. What we don't see is that all of that is created by him and maintained by him. Right? And that in his control and all that, his control is being under the control. Does that make sense? By being under the control of his devotees, that's how you control it. You know what I'm saying? Means Mother Yashoda and them, they tell him to dance. He dances for them. That's how he controls them. Right? It's just like in the Vedic marriage ceremony by Gopal Bhakti Goswami. Then in there, one of the blessings that the husband gives is be the controller of, he's talking about his own family, be the controller of my father, be the controller of my mother, be the controller of my, you know, sisters and other relatives. But that doesn't mean she comes in there, you know, with her whip and all that, and, you know, like that, and says, all right, we're here, you know, like that. It's by her affection, by her nice qualities and all that, and service, you control. So this part is missed by the living entity there. Right? They don't understand, because they're not male, right? So there's a projection of what is male, but it doesn't really work very good, right? Like, it's very interesting. You see little girls playing, you know, and then they become, you know, the king or the ministers and all that. Therefore, they play a male role. But when they play that male role, it's really overemphasized. It's really melodramatic, you know. They'll get up there and yes, and this, and do all kinds of things like that. So that's what we do. Because it's not. So here is, that's why if we talk about always remember Krishna. Krishna's nice, he's sweet, he's out dancing with the gopis, he plays his flute, he has a... plays his flute, yeah, picks up the mango. Mangoes that really make great sounds. Right? So he and that, or maybe it's the old guys, right? You know, the old fruits, you know, like that. So then, you know, that. So that part makes a lot of sense to us very directly. So direct devotional service, bang, immediately we understand. Right? That's very easy to catch and all that. But this other part of actually pointing out how we're not God, that part bewilders us. Because one, we don't know what God is anyway. And then we got our own false idea of what it means. So then when we get into this, this starts to get really funny for us. Because we're working on this. It works very nicely. It's a common thing. And it's used in the Vedic culture. But there's a lot more going on. So it doesn't become the prominent element, right, of the evil element in the society. But in the West or your world religions, you know, the non-Vedic, then the evil element becomes very prominent. Right? The devil and all this kind of thing like that. So this thing of Maya, you know, being the one that's doing everything and this, no, she's not doing anything. Our mess is created by herself. Alright? So we want to enjoy this material energy. We want to enjoy, you know, control and enjoy, so material energy is given to us. So then we then, within this, try different things. Why the variety? One, the feminine nature needs the variety. So we have to have that. So then, here, but it's generated by someone else. This is still the part we're missing. This is the illusion. That even the material manifestation that we are choosing, picking and choosing from to control and enjoy, is still being generated by the Purusha, by the male. Right? The spiritual realm, everything is generated by Krishna. Right? Within that, then the devotees make all their decisions, they want to do this, they want to do that, and then Krishna responds with them. Right? The cowherd boys want to play leapfrog, he does that with them. They want to play some other game, he does that with them. Right? But he's created that ground on which they're running. He's created the bale fruits that they're playing with. He's created the wells that they're shouting into and saying all kinds of funny names. Right? So in the same way, is even though we're claiming to be the controller and enjoyer, the material energy and the options that we can control and enjoy are still created by Krishna. This is where the illusion comes, is we don't recognize that. So therefore it says, here, D, although thus not existing in reality means the illusion of not understanding connection, this manifestations of transformations created from the mode of passion appears real because the self manifest is self-luminous, absolute truth, exhibits himself in the form of the material variety of the senses, the sense objects, the mind, and the elements of physical nature. So anything you see here that you want to control and enjoy, the only reason it seems real is because it's Krishna. The dead matter is dead matter. But Krishna, as the universal form, from the primary creation, has entered it. Right? That's why the first hymn in each of the four Vedas is Purusha Shukta. Because everything else is based on that. And the Purusha Shukta is about the primary creation. How Krishna has entered into everything. Because the point is in the beginning, there is nothing. There's nothing to sacrifice. All these primordial sages get together before the creation to have the yajna, but there's nothing to sacrifice. So they take the Lord to sacrifice him. Right? Because he is substance. So when they bring him to the sacrificial arena, then he expands into everything in the universe. So everything you see, you know, both on the mental plorum, the physical thing, the sense object, the experience of that sense, it's all Krishna. That's why it seems real. That's why when you eat something, that taste you get, you feel it's real. Right? But that apple you ate is just dead matter. But it's because Krishna's entered it as that taste. Then, that's why you think it's real. You smell something, it's because Krishna's in there. That's why it's real. That's the whole point. There isn't anything else other than Krishna. To think anything other than that, that's illusion. This is the hard part. Because we just want to go, Maya, Krishna, we take Krishna, we don't bother with Maya. But at the same time, we don't get all fanatic about it otherwise. And we can get also involved in it and everything, and be Krishna conscious. But while we're involved, we're not thinking about Krishna at all. So how are you going to deal with your material attachments unless you understand Krishna's in it? Because the only way to elevate yourself is connecting something to Krishna. So unless you can connect your senses and your mind and your needs and desires to Krishna, there's no way, shape, or form you're going to progress in the realm of never forget Krishna. Right? That's why the question comes up, well, how can somebody be advanced at the same time do so much nonsense? Right? That verse is also coming up here. Is that because they're many times advancing in always remember Krishna, but not necessarily in always in never forget Krishna. Or they're progressing in a certain area of never forget Krishna, but not in another. You know what I'm saying? They may work on, you know, their attachment to the family, but their attachment to position remains, or they're working on their attachment to position, attachment to family remains. But something is going, you know, but progress is there. So we get into this nice black and white. There's good and there's evil. There's God, there's the devil. And so therefore, you're fully Krishna conscious or you're a complete write-off bozo. Right? And we're being nice about it. Right? So these are problems. Right? So this is what Matthew was saying. Is about that gray area, that's what now we're addressing, and that's the part that's painful. You know? Because then, if what I'm attached to, I'm attached, let's say, to my child. Okay, but that means that child is made out of dead matter. What's there to be attached to? You know what I'm saying? The soul leaves, you're not attached. Right? So, the point is that experience you're getting, that perception of childness, that experience that you get of the interaction between parent and child, that's all Krishna. Not the dead matter. The illusionist thing, it's my child that's giving me so much pleasure. But it's not. It's Krishna in the form of the energy of this child that gives me pleasure. So as soon as that's brought in, now we're not dealing with illusion. Now being in a state of not an illusion, now what are you going to do with it? So that means basically then you have to look at, if the childness here is Krishna, then I have to deal with the child as Krishna wants to be dealt with as a child. So what are the rules of that? Does that make sense? And therefore, since you've taken responsibility of dealing with this particular, dead matter here, in the form of a child, you know, it's Krishna's dead matter, he can take care of it very nicely, but you've taken responsibility. So therefore, you have duties. So you perform your duty. Right? That's what Krishna says, first in the Gita. Then, with knowledge, you understand what you're dealing with. Right? Then, for Krishna, that you're doing this to please Krishna. Remembering Krishna, then it brings it back to Krishna as a person. Does that make sense? So this is more internal working of those things. Otherwise, yeah, we've heard it before. Do your duty, list that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we've heard that. But this is what it means. This is not something for new bhaktas. New bhaktas don't see that the experience they get from being with their child or with their husband or wife or, you know, going on a vacation is Krishna. Right? That's meant for as we become more developed, more advanced. So that's what Krishna keeps coming back to, because these are the common things. In the beginning, okay, we just perform the duty. But that duty won't, you know, okay, I take care of my family. But here we're talking about the interaction. Right? The part that everybody wants, but everybody's afraid of. Right? That's also the best part. Is the part that we want, that's what we're afraid of. You want to deal with the child, then deal with it right. Fully deal with it. No, I only want to deal when I want to deal. That's cheating. You know, you want to deal with the child, you take the full responsibility. You don't want to deal with the child, don't get married, don't have kids. Very easy. Right? So even the element of that we're saying we need the relationships and you sannyasis don't understand and all these kind of things. No, the grihastha is the one who doesn't understand. The sannyasis may also not understand. That's also. But the point is nobody's understanding. Because if it's Krishna, then how you're only dealing with it part-time? How is it you're only dealing on your terms? When you want. No. So what are the duties? You can't make them up. You're dealing with Krishna. You can't make up your own religion. I mean, you can try. Some people do. Very popular these days. But it's not going to get you love of Godhead. So that's why Krishna says favorable. Right? That service must be favorable. So it's a natural steps that you're going through. And this way, anything that you have in your, you know, world, everything is actually Krishna and can be connected to Krishna. There's nothing that can't. This idea that only these things can be connected, these things can't be connected, that is illusion. That's Maya. That's atheism. Does that make sense? Here, 1 second, we go to this. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Did you remember? Apparently, you approach the whole, as you really elaborated from the positive, let's say, from the over and the increase. But let's say, in this other formula, where I have to not never forget Krishna and my conditioned state, in this other state, in the perfect state, I see the matter and actually is conditioned as well. So that's its illusion, that the matter. But from the standpoint of view of the Mayavadi, the impersonalist, it's also say that he rejects matter as not real. Could you elaborate, please, how this matter from the Vaishnava point of view is real, because we don't reject the sense of the material world as real.
Okay. So, yeah, we started at the beginning of this. This element of real and not real, as we mentioned before, is you have this Parinamavad and Vivartavad. Parinama, that's us, right? Yeah, so Parinama means transformation. That's why this word transformation is always used. Because one aspect of energy is transforming into the next, into the next, into the next. But it's all real. The transformation exists. It's actually there. This table is actually here. Now, what I think about this table, my values about this table, if it's in connection to Krishna, it's real. If it's not connection to Krishna, it's illusion. The Mayavadis and Vivartavad, they just say it's all an illusion. Actually, nothing exists, and we, in our illusion, create it. So they've taken, you know, trying to be God to another step, is that they're addressing this element that God's created everything, so they're saying, I'm creating everything. Right? But it's an illusion. It doesn't exist, right? That pillar is not actually there. You just think it's there. It's amazing how everybody in this room thinks it's there. Even the bugs think it's there. They go and land on it. Right? So it's a very strange philosophy. You're really trying hard to be God. Like that. So, Gray, what you're dealing with, the child exists, the parent exists, the relationship exists, the duties towards each other exist. What's the illusion is that you don't see Krishna in it. That's actually all it is. Krishna consciousness is very simple. It's connected to Krishna, then it's real. It's pious. Right? It's not connected to Krishna. It's not real. It's impious. Right? Yudhishthira Maharaj's chariot touched the ground because he wouldn't lie for Krishna. All moralists must be... All moralists standing with their rock at the wall, ready to throw it at the person who's made the sin, should take heed of this one. Because it's whether it's in connection with Krishna or not that makes it real or not. Nothing else. It doesn't matter. You get together 1,000 moralists, still they're all an illusion. You know, 1,000 people into justice, 1,000 people into the form and rituals of Varnashram, but not seeing it in connection to Krishna. 1,000 people that are into liberation, but nothing in connection to Krishna. They're still an illusion. And the most difficult of all, 1,000 people into their senses, not in connection to Krishna, are still in illusion. So notice here is of all the varieties. So that senses, sense objects, the mind, and the elements of physical nature. We always look at creation, physical nature. But here we're dealing with the senses, sense objects, and the mind. That's why we're dealing with the psychology. The subtle aspect of it that generally we avoid. Because the difficulty is if my child's Krishna and that experience I'm getting from the parental energy interacting with the child energy is Krishna, then what's wrong with me enjoying it? But it's not a problem. But are you enjoying it in connection with Krishna? So the illusion or the Maya is it's not in connection with Krishna. Even you recognize as Krishna, still you try to enjoy it separately from Krishna. That's an illusion. So that's why just having that intellectual understanding and then making a, you know, this is a more intellectual way of rationalizing one's Maya. You know, now it's just, we're being practical, Prabhu, you know, or, you know, get real, Prabhu, or you don't understand, you Swamis don't understand, you know. Then you can get into, no, but it's Krishna, you know. But that's what we see here, the Hindus. You never bumped into the Hindus and, oh, maybe it's Krishna. It is God, yes, you know, like that. So we have to take care. Like that. I've seen it so many times. Right? So they're understanding a little bit more. But still, they're in illusion. They're in a nicer illusion. Because they think the baby is God, so they're taking care of God very nicely. You know, they don't get out the cigarettes and everything and poke, you know, burn them and stuff. You know, like that. So they'll take care of very nice things. Like that. But still, they're in illusion. But they're in a little bit nicer illusion because they have more knowledge. But we're talking about going beyond illusion to the point of Krishna consciousness. That means through your attachment to whatever you're attached to, you can become liberated. This is the real part that no one wants to buy. I mean, that means by being attached to his family, he can become liberated from the material world. I guarantee no brahmachari and sannyasi is going to buy this one. Right? Because it's grihasthas are evil, nonsense, write-offs and all that, like that. But it's a fact. But it's not going to get you love of Godhead. That's where it falls a little short. You can't say, okay, this is the complete thing, this is my Krishna. No, this is the never forget Krishna. What are you doing about always remember? That is the direct aspects, the hearing, the chanting, remembering, serving the deity, associating with the devotees, being in the Dham, like that. That is going to get that side. So that's the prominent. But because we're so distracted and we're not doing that, we come to the temple once a year on Janmashtami night for prasad, you know, and I'm a great devotee. So those other 360, you know, 4 days and, you know, how you say, 22 hours, then that is a problem because that's the part where we're always forgetting Krishna. So this system can connect all that. And as we connect it, it becomes purified, there's less problem. Then the aspect of being able to remember Krishna becomes more easy. One's more inspired to chant and associate with devotees and take part in the festivals because there's not, what's distracting you isn't taking you away from Krishna. Does that make sense? So this is your answer. I got a cue here. Is this clear? You had something?
Yes, I wanted to ask about the consciousness when we are having a relationship and dealing with people in Krishna conscious way, because they have their own free will and their understanding, so it's extremely easy to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And this
that's fun. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody just did what you wanted them to do?
I would like to get some advice on how to actually have a good attitude.
How to remember Krishna? Well, the thing is to remember Krishna, you have to be conscious, right? So the first thing is being conscious. So the difficulty in relationships, much of the time that we run into, then is that we're not conscious. We go into a situation in a relationship with an idea of what we want to get out of it, rather than actually what the situation is. So that means we go into a situation in the mode of passion, means we're in the future. We're dealing with the situation already as we've gotten the results we want. So how will you actually have a relationship? Because the relationship is in the present, not in the future or the past, it's right now. You know what I'm saying? So that means you have to be conscious of the present and what is the other person doing right now. And then respond to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but sometimes even if you do that, the consequences of doing something, because it's so easy to disappear.
But the so easy means what? The so easy means 1/11th of a second. That's what you're supposed to be dealing in. If you're dealing in any bigger time span than 1/11th of a second, you will make a mistake. It will go wrong. You're not dealing in the moment. A moment is 1/11th of a second. That is the present. The present is the size of 1/11th of a second. That means you're aware of everything. When you're talking and this and that, you're noticing everything, the moods, the aspect, everything about what's going on. And so therefore, you're using the appropriate language, appropriate, conversation, tone of voice, everything like that. And if you don't, so that's the thing, the responsibility. You want it to work that the other person will just go or there's some easy trick. There's never an easy trick. It's all work. So because of the mode of ignorance, we're lazy, we don't want to work. The spiritual world, they are people who are not lazy. Therefore, they're given bodies that don't get fatigued, don't get hungry, don't get thirsty, because they're willing to work 24/7. Because relationship means interaction. There's no such thing as non-interaction. That is a thing, right? Does that make sense? You have a pair of shoes, you like these shoes, they're special, but they sit in your closet until you want to interact with them. Then you get them out and then they're all special, and then you put them back in the closet and don't wear them again for 3 months. So it works very nice if it's dead matter. But even then, what you like about it is still Krishna. The experience that you get, the aesthetics of it, the reactions it gets from others, that's still Krishna. But we're not recognizing that. So we want to do the same thing with people. They should respond and act just like dead matter. It's when I want to put in the energy, then they're there and interacting with me when I want on my terms. And when I don't want, then they should, you know, somehow or another be in some kind of neutral state or somewhere else, doing something else, and keeping themselves busy, and I don't have to give any energy. Right? That's the problem, is laziness. We are looking at everything as dead matter. We associate with dead matter so much, we become like that. And we expect everyone's going to respond. But no, they're a sentient living entity that you have to work. It's work. That's what Arjuna wants to go to the forest to just do nothing. And Krishna's saying, no, you got to work. You're going to do it anyway. You're going to work, but it's going to be on your terms. So you do it on your terms, you stay in the material world. You work on Krishna's terms, you get out of the material world. You go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is relationships means responsibility. Right? And if you're not willing to take responsibility, you darn into relationships. That's why modern management is so popular, because there is no responsibility. You have authority, but no responsibility. But that means it's an impersonal form. Right? The corporate form is you have authority, but no responsibility. I'm saying, so that's how we deal in the modern in relationships. Right? It means it's like, where do you hear things of, you have a family, your commitments to the family is the most important thing, and all that, and the greatest gift in the world is family, and without family you have nothing, and all your identity is family. Where do we hear that? Do we hear this in the first world? No. You hear this in the third world. Right? And they have more better working relationships because they take responsibility of relationships. I'm in this family, therefore I have a duty to this family. So it's not just me, it's the whole family values, what grandpa, grandma, whoever's the head of the family says. Right? But first world, you're cut free, you do whatever you like. Grandma and your old man's in the nursing home, so hey, it doesn't, what I'm saying? So this whole thing of responsibility is not there. Even though they claim to be, they're very authoritative, the modern culture. But it is totally irresponsible. While these third world countries are very responsible, but they're not, the problem is their control is not very great. But as they've learned the techniques of the modern, then you see as these third world is taking over, and after a while, it's like in Los Angeles, California and Los Angeles, those that are from a, white Caucasian background can actually apply in the schools to create a minority club. And there's still an illusion going on thinking that they're the, lords of the world. When it's very obvious that the Asians and others are taking over real fast. You know what I'm saying? So it's a very, very inferior culture. Economically, it's very good. It's a bourgeois culture. That's what it was. The bourgeois in France took over. They killed the king. The bourgeois in Russia took over. They killed the king. And all the time, it's the bourgeois taking over and getting rid of authority. And then taking their own authority. And what's the basis? Economics. They want to move up. The noble caste and the aristocracy is enjoying. They want that. So then they make politics by going to the mass. Right, because they only have money. They go to the mass. They get the force that they can take over the nobility and that. So it's a bourgeois culture. It's only good for economics. Thus, it's not for anything else. It has no concept of relationship. So because of this, no one's trained in it. And no one's trained to take responsibility. So that means you want the relationship to work, you got to take responsibility to make it work. Don't say, oh, but what about the other person? Don't worry about the other person. You can't control the other. You can control your own mind and senses, how you deal in the relationship. It's their business, it's their duty to take care of them. But whether they deal nice or not, it's your business. The child is behaving nicely, the child's being a total brat, the parent still has the responsibility. You can't say, well, my kid's nice, I'm the parent, and when they're not, hey, I don't know them. It's like child welfare will come knocking on your door if that's your attitude. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point. You take this, you'll find all your relationships improve immediately. You take the responsibility to make it work from your side, how you can, to the best of your ability, you'll find all your relationships improve that moment. Spontaneity has to be monitored. That's the beginning. See, now it's very important here. Now, why is this important? This comes up. This is a very, very actually important point of this need of spontaneity. The masculine is not seen so much as spontaneous as just being your own man, like that. In the feminine, it comes out as spontaneity. It's the same thing. So it's actually a very important element, the need to be able to be spontaneous, because regulated, restricted, then translates as boring, right? And that's why, basically, no one wants to be restricted, because they think it will be boring. Or, and because you're that, your experiences will go down, and so you're not, what you could do to fulfill yourself, your own needs, will not be addressed. And therefore, that's why we stay away from Vedic culture and anything that actually controls us. But here the point is, as Krishna says, act in knowledge. So we see from the Vedic method of study and learning that you hear something, that's Shravana, that's the first stage. The second stage is you contemplate it and practice it. So that stage of practicing, yes, is controlled by what you know. But with time, you become actually good at it. And when you're good at it, that's where spontaneity naturally comes up. If you don't know what you're doing, where's the spontaneity? You know what I'm saying? It means the person doesn't know anything about dancing. Or let's use another one, because that doesn't work so much for us. Let's say music. They don't know music. You tell them, be spontaneous, make some music. What are they going to do? They're going to do something really stupid, right? Now, then they know some music, then they can only kind of do what they do. So you say, hey, do something. Then they'll do the same thing every time. But now they really know music, then they can improvise and do anything. And it's perfectly within the parameters of music. So it's by knowledge and practice that spontaneity comes. This is what the sahajas don't know. Unfortunately, this is also what the Americans don't know. Is they think anything that restricts, then I won't be happy. No, you want to be happy, you have to restrict it, bring it in line, and practice it until you know the field so well that then you can be spontaneous. Then the sky's the limit. So the same in devotional service. Raganuga Bhakti is based on Vaidhi Bhakti. You don't practice Vaidhi, you're not going to get to Raganuga. It just doesn't happen. Rag means that you're so practiced at it, now the spontaneity comes out. So the point is that you have to restrict it, means that you have to restrict it, means you don't know much about the field. So that means you don't know the relationships. That's why it seems like it's a restriction. But if you actually understand the relationship, you understand this is what's going to get that spontaneous interaction that I'm dying for. And everybody around me is dying for, but they refuse to accept the process. You know, it's like saying, I want to be able to read this book. Okay, sit down here. A, B, C. No, I don't want to be restricted. I just want to read the book. That's what we're hearing. You know? And they say this with real attitude in their three-piece suits, in their limousines. And then we read their self-help books and do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's just ignorance. So that's what's being pointed out here. It's absolute, total ignorance and illusion to think that the thing is not connected to Krishna and that there's not a process given by Krishna that you can follow and attain perfection. And if you think you're going to make it up yourself and it doesn't come from Krishna, you're in illusion. That's it. It's that simple. So here's being given then the process of it. So this one thing If that's accepted, then we can go to this level of, you know, understanding the mind. Because you have to understand the mind is dealing with the senses and sense objects. That's all it does. So unless you actually understand the senses and sense objects in connection to Krishna, you can't actually understand how to bring the mind to Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? Is that okay? Okay. Unfortunately, time's up. Okay, so I'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Sama Veta Bhakti Vrinda ki Jai Nitai Go with the Premanand
Hare Hare
Thank you.